So, our scripture reading this morning comes from Genesis 2, and we're going to read 9 verses together, very, very well-known passage of scripture. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed through Eden, and from there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire valley of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river was Gihon. It winds up through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." This is the word of the Lord for us. Now, for all the parents, just want to give you the heads up. We're moving a little bit away for the next couple of weeks from the Sunday school. So if your kids ask you anything about Sunday school today, you're on your own. Okay, just they're talking about Adam and Eve. But we're going to, over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to continue with this thing about the basics. With everything that's going on and all the noise that is around us and all the opinions and everybody saying, well, this is how things are supposed to be. I've had this growing conviction for a couple of months now. Marianne and I sat one day having a coffee and she said to me, "I can hear a sermon coming on," because I was talking about original sin of all things while we were having coffee. That's how you know you should never marry a Domini. You know, coffee conversations get extremely weird. But it's something that has been growing in my heart for a long time, because what you sometimes need to do is with all the noise, you need to take a step, go back to basics. Figure out, okay, what are the one or two or three or four things that you have to focus on? And that enables you to choose what to take, what to leave, what to do. And it's not sexy. Let's be honest. It's not something that you will walk out of here and go like, "Yo, I never heard that before." It's stuff you know. But you have to revisit the basics every now and again just to make sure that when you do life, you see, "Oh, okay, yeah. I'm supposed to do this, or this is where this fits in." It gives you that framework. And over the last couple of weeks, one of the things that I'll just run you through, when it came to creation, to what God has placed around us, the people, family, creation, outside nature, he's given it to us to enjoy. He looked at it and he said, "It's good." And one of our primary responses to creation is to look at it and to realize, hang on, you are supposed to enjoy it. Your spouse, all of those things, everything that God has created, it's given to enjoy, because God said, "It's good." We looked at people, everybody created in the image of God, which means that our call is to treat them with honor, as though they are worth something, as though they've got value, and not because they deserve it. All the wives here will tell you, that guy that I chose to marry, honoring him is a choice. You know, they can tell you that. And ladies, we appreciate the choice. Just speaking on behalf of all the men here, we do appreciate the choice. But we don't honor people because they are deserving of it. We honor people because they are created in the image of God, and because of our relationship with him, we treat them with honor. Nuck, can you drop my voice just a little bit? I hear the ring here where I stand. So today, I'm going to talk about your favorite subject, work. Yeah. Going to talk about work. Isn't it amazing? God creates everything. Everything. Plants, trees, fishes, some weird giraffes. And he looks at all of this and he goes, this is good. And then he plants a garden. He plants a garden. And then the Hebrew is so beautiful. The Hebrew says that he brought mankind to rest in the garden. So he brought them to rest. And he said to them, cultivate or preserve, tend to this garden. The very first thing God did after he's created everything was to say, work. Now, let me say this. If you want to talk about the idea or biblical understanding of the word work or what it means, there's no better picture than gardening. But full disclosure, I don't like gardening at all. Lizette, I'm nothing like you in that regard. If it can't grow on its own, then it shouldn't be in my yard. But if you look at gardening, you can still, even if you don't like it, you can still learn about what did God mean when he gave us this instruction to work. You know, what was his understanding of it? Now, if you look at gardening in a purely theoretical way, then you'll see that there are a lot of similarities between how God created creation and then between gardening. Because scripture tells us at the beginning there was chaos, everything was demarcated, and then God started rearranging stuff. So he separated land and water, day and night, stars, moon, everything. He sort of like started rearranging what was there, and he did it so that all the plants, all the animals and us, we could flourish in that thing that is now rearranged. And there's something very similar to gardening. Gardening is intentional. I think I will be a good game ranger. So I'll just watch. You know, they normally said, my dad was a game ranger, and he would just, he just spent hours just in the bucky watching, doing nothing. According to him, he was working. But he would just sit there watching. It's like watching the grass grow. And, oh, there are some kudus, you know, just watching. And if somebody doesn't keep to the roads, then the game ranger is there to say, hey, stick to the road. Don't drive in the felt, you know. Gardening is not like that. For you love gardening, you know that you dig holes or you get somebody to dig a hole on your behalf. You know, you cut off branches, you plant stuff, you move stuff. There is this constant intentional cultivating something that hopefully in the end is beautiful or worthwhile or you can eat from or whatever you want to do with a garden. In my case, I want to admire it in a magazine. You know, that's as close as I want to come to the garden, you know. But there's this intentionality about gardening. And when God came and he said, okay, right, listen, this is what I want you to do. This is the garden I want you to preserve, to tend and to cultivate this garden. He said, that definition, or what happened there was this, he instituted work, and if you look at gardening, you can say that work can be defined as rearranging resources to bring out its potential for the benefit of everyone. Rearranging resources to bring out its potential for the benefit of everyone. Okay, now I can see some of you are frowning. You're like, yeah, you surely don't know what I'm doing. Okay, think about a musician. Okay, what do? They take something very fundamental, sound, they rearrange it, and that rearrangement, they bring out the potential of those sounds, some of us better than others, but they bring it out, and it's something that blesses everybody. Now, if you think that is a weird example, think about this building. The building is exactly the same thing that happened. Somebody took earth and cement and wherever you find the stuff that you build a building like this with. And they rearranged it, and they brought out the potential of those things to the best of their ability, and they built a building that could bless people, where we can honor. Every form of work, the biblical understanding of work is there are these resources that we've got, that's in front of us, that our call is to rearrange them in such a way that we maximize them, we bring out their potential, and then the rearrangement is supposed to mean to bless everyone. Does that make sense? Okay. Some of you are going to think about your work slightly differently tomorrow. If you can go with that definition, then you will immediately realize that there's a problem. Because nowadays, very few people think this way about work. In actual fact, most people think about work as, what is in it for me? It's like, well, I get this due to my position. I get this quite often where people come to me and I'll say, so why do you do this work? Well, I have to earn money. Or I want to retire at the age of 35 or whatever they want to do. It's the majority of culture today looks at work as something that you can get from it. I do this, but it's for me. It's what I can get from it. Kids nowadays, I work with a lot of students. I haven't found one medical student that I've spoken to in the last 15 years that were actually studying medicine to help people. Not one that I had a personal conversation. Now, please hear me. There are people who care about other people who study medicine. I've just not had the conversation with them. This point in time, I'll ask the guys, so why are you studying medicine? Sure, the money. It's about the money. The kids playing rugby, the students playing rugby, it's for them, it's about, I want to make big bucks, And you can make a lot of big bucks. I don't know if you know this, but if you've got 10,000 followers, for instance, on your Twitface, if I can quote Top Gear on this, Twitter or YouTube or FaceTube or Facebook. If you've got 10,000 followers on that thing, and you do sport, a company like Nike or Adidas comes to you and says to you, "Great, listen here, what gear do you want? We give it to you. We'll sponsor you." So you've got this new kind of career which is called an influencer. What the hell? Somebody's got so many people following them on Facebook or on social media that if they say, "I like this," then everybody goes because this person has now said they like it. It is the craziest thing. But if you follow the thread and you come to the end of it, then you'll see that most people in this, they spend their time, their activity what is in this for me? I wanna, and if you start talking about this, then you get either a cynical or a romantic perspective on work, where people will say to you, "Well, I work because I have to. It's the end of the month, I want to eat. I want to eat well, so that's why I work really hard. I want lots of food that I can buy. At the end of this month, I want to buy 2 eggs. That type of thing." But people say they're either cynical or they get romantic. They go like, "Oh, one day when I retire," or "You're so lucky that you've got this job, but I have to do this job because I've got nothing else that I can do." And underneath both the cynical and the romantic point of view in terms of work is this focus on me. Now, if you don't know whether you've got a focus on you, let me help you out. That's why I'm here. Always happy to serve. Because if the focus is on you, work will be tiring. Okay, next week, for those of you still want to come next week, we're going to talk about the fall. And part of the fall, the effect of the fall, was that everything started falling apart. Us getting old, basically our bodies just falling apart. Everything going, south. You know, that's what getting older. Everything is in a constant state of decay because of the fall. It's this one housewife actually said, no, not a housewife, domestic manager said that her life is about battling dirt. See, she starts cleaning the house on this side. She battles the dirt. By the time she gets to the other side of the house, the dirt has started attacking on that side where she started, attacking again. You see, the worst part about it is one day when she dies, dirt wins because then she's got 6 feet of dirt on top of her. But that is the reality. It's the reality of the fall, you know. Everything decays. So if you are working for what you can get from it, if your work is your source of security or your source of significance, if that is why you do it, it's like trying to catch water. It just flows through your hands. You can't really get a hold of it. You can hold it a little bit, but it evaporates quickly. And in order to get the significance or the security or whatever you do that thing, you just have to go harder and harder and harder at it. And it becomes so, so tiring to the point where people just want to tap out. And they get so cynical or so hoping for one day that for them, work is a curse and not a blessing. Because you see, the first thing God gave, why he gave us work, is this work is part of his grace to us. It's his empowering ability that was given. Work is supposed to be creative. How do I change these resources? How do I use this? And it's an act of service. It's serving everyone, not just the ones close to you, the ones that will give you a pat on the back, but everyone. Those are the aspects of work that comes out. But you cannot do that if the focus is on you, because creation has fallen. And in order for you to get whatever you think you're going to get from the work, it's never going to be enough, because creation is in a constant state of decay. It's falling apart. So you're always going to strive, always going to try, always going to be tired, frustrated with what you do. And then you speak to people who say, well, I just want to retire one day. In the scope of humanity, retirement is a misnomer. And for people in the financial industry, they'll tell you, if you still think you've got the ability to retire and do nothing, enjoy it, because it's not going to last. The part of humanity has always been, We were created to work. And then we come up with this idea of, okay, I'm going to put away so that I don't have to work. To do what? To do what I actually always wanted to do. Do you know where the focus is? God's understanding of work, your work, what you're supposed to do, what I'm supposed to do, is not about the type of work. Here's a crazy thought for you. The ancient people hated manual labor, just like today. If you had to work in a garden, they sort of looked down on it. The people who arrived were later on the priests or the philosophers, the bosses, you know, the people whose hands were clean. And yeah, the first thing that God does is he plants a garden, gets his hands dirty. The ancient people battled with that idea of how can God plant a garden? No, you've got this wrong. To make matters worse, Jesus became a man. You know, he stepped into our world. So for them, this was crazy, crazy, crazy. But by doing that, God took any form of work from demeaning, even the simplest form of work, gardening, now carries dignity. Because if it's done in accordance to how God thinks about work, how the scriptures teach us about work, if it's the rearranging of resources to maximize its potential in order to benefit everybody, then work becomes worship. The whole idea, people think, well, I don't like what I'm doing now. If only I can get another job. That doesn't change it. Getting another job is not going to bring the change that you're longing for. God worked for 7 days, for 6 days, and then rested. Rest comes from not finding your security or your significance in your job, but finding it in Him. Your worth as a person, in Him, not in what you produce, not in what people say to you, not in how big the house or the car or the whatever it is. The moment He becomes our source, work becomes worship, and we can rest. Doesn't mean that you're not going to be tired, but your body was designed to recover. You can always rest. The thing that catches all of us is that blanket that gets thrown over us that we can't anyway, just can't. And we hope that there's a way out somewhere. When we get there, it means that we've moved away from God's understanding of work. That it's about taking what is in front of you, rearranging it creatively, looking at what did God place in my hands? And do you hear the stewardship when I explain it this way? What did God place in my hands? How do I maximize this so that it can benefit everyone? And that applies from financial to teaching. Not so sure about the lawyers. Still thinking about that one. But the rest of us, you know, we can have holy jobs because God said it's holy. So the question I've got for you is this. And it's not a rather simple one. Who do you work for? Not why do you work, what do you work for, who do you work for? Truth is this. If you work for yourself, you will always be tired, overwhelmed, frustrated. If you work for yourself. If you work for Him, you enter the world of creativity, stewardship, meaning, fulfillment. Then it becomes exciting as to see, what can I do with this to benefit everybody? If you work for Him, work changes into worship. We're going to take up our offering just now. And the simple reason why we say, listen here, if this is not part of your worship, keep your money, is exactly this. Because as believers, and this was the biblical mindset all along, as believers, the thing for us is, Lord, I've worked really hard this week. In my case, I worked 15 minutes, you know, really hard. You know Dumnes, you know, it's 1 hour on a Sunday and the rest of the week, anything over 15 minutes, then you've got burnout, you know. It's like, you need to go and play golf or fish just to relax again, yeah. But it's about what you've given to me. I've maximized that potential. This is how I'm rearranging this. This is how it's going to benefit everyone. And as a reward for that, they gave me money. This signifies my worship to you. And that's why you put it in the offering bag, because you want others to experience the same. If you can't make that connection, keep the money, you're wasting it. It's anyway going to feel like water through your hands. But do you hear what I'm saying? Does it make sense? So go and figure out who you work for. And then make peace with the fact that if you want to stop being frustrated and tired at work, don't work for yourself. Rearrange what you've got in such a way that it benefits everybody. Does that make sense? Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us the ability to work. Thank you for all the pensioners who's just sat here and said in their hearts, hallelujah, it's got nothing to do with me. Lord, I pray that you will make us a bunch of faithful stewards, sons and daughters who worship you through our work, who begin to realize, but it's your grace for us to be active. It's your grace for us to be able to do something that benefits everybody, that we are called to serve, and that as we're called to serve, we enter your world of grace. Lord, my prayer for each one of us is that as we go about our weeks, that you will enable us to worship you through our work, and that we will not work for ourselves, but that we will work for you. We ask all of this, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.